You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. In just a few decades, pets took over our hearts and also the economy. In 1998, American pet owners spent $23 billion on their pets. That sounds like a lot of money. So you consider that just two decades later, in 2019, Americans spent $95.7 billion on those pets. In a new book, our next guest tells us how animals went from being outdoor-only farmhands to the monarchs of many American households. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a pet, tell us how your pet has changed your life. Pets have become increasingly woven into daily lives and routines. Did you have family pets growing up? Did they get different treatment than the pets you have today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Mark Cushing is founder and CEO of the Animal Policy Group and the author of the book Pet Nation, the inside story of how companion animals are transforming our homes, culture, and economy. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Mark, I gave one statistic there, but can you give us a sense of the scope of this rise just in the sheer number of pets we have and money we spend on them? It kind of snuck up on me. How big is this?
Well, we basically doubled the pet population since 1998. We're now close to 200 million pet cats and dogs in the country. That number vastly outstrips the growth of the human population. We're at $110 billion a year in people spending in America on pets. That number is projected by Morgan Stanley, a Wall Street bank, to get to $300 billion or just short of that in only 8 years from now. So it's just getting started. If people wonder if we can't go any further with pets, no, put your seatbelts on. There's a long more way to go.
Your book is not just a story about quantity, though. It's about the quality of our relationships with pets. And you see a big change there in really just a couple generations. What's the story?
Well, it really began in the childhood of baby boomers. And the pets began, the cats and dogs, to come inside for different reasons. And that time inside that pet owners and families had with pets, they discovered something, which is the medical fact. It's not just a good feeling because your dog or cat's cute, but your oxytocin level in your brain goes up, which is a source of relaxation and happiness and calm. And your cortisol level goes down, which is a source of stress and anxiety. So there's a chemical thing that occurs. And it kind of lit the country on fire, and it was fueled in part by the media, not so much radio. Don't get mad at me, WPR, but it was, Americans spent Sunday night, I think it was 7:30, on their couch watching Lassie. And I say Lassie because it's probably the greatest dog ever, and it did everything right. It was heroic. It was friendly. It was a comfort. It was a pal. It liked to play with you and do everything you wanted. It turns out that dog was created by an author that was a friend of Charles Dickens. So it wasn't exactly a modern writer that created Lassie, but it was a great story. And it fueled a surge at the time, about 30 plus, a little bit more years ago, in media, just presenting pets, dogs and cats in particular, in this different light. And you saw them everywhere and they were having fun, and it was kind of contagious, and people wanted more pets. It was, in many ways, the signature was the Subaru and Nissan ads, car manufacturers, of course, that showed cars on the California coastal highway. They didn't even tell you a word about the car, its performance features, nothing. They just showed a golden retriever in the passenger seat with its hair flowing in the wind and smiling. And they realized that all you need to do was connect that brand with a dog, a happy dog, and you could sell cars. And the point is, we were surrounded by pets doing other things. And it led to the remarkable fact now, 75% of America's pets sleep on top of the bed of their pet parents or pet owners. So from out of the doghouse, which is a term you don't hear anymore, to, as you, I liked your intro, the monarchs of our homes. And that's very much the case.
We've talked on this show over the years about loneliness in the United States, lack of social connection in some cases. You see the pets not just as like we're going to the pets for the companionship we're not getting from humans. Sometimes those pets lead to the connection with other humans. Connect the dots for us, please, between our social isolation and our pets.
Well, it's interesting. There's a couple of key facts there, and it's a good story. Once commercial media had done its job, social media became a tool, as we all know, with smartphones in the hands of every American, and people became, in effect, their own movie producers and directors, right? And at first, I remember you saw babies. It seems like social media, Facebook, Instagram, and so forth, babies were the currency, but not anymore. I have five kids. You'd think I'd complain about that, but what was replaced were pets, dogs and cats doing things, little short videos daily. And it allowed people, if you lived in San Diego and you had the same breed as somebody in Portland, Maine, you could become friends. You became part of a group, and you couldn't wait to see the species, you know, the Shih Tzu in Portland, Maine, turn in circles. And then your pet would do it the next day. And it created this culture of connection through social media. And it continues every day today. At the same time, there were studies done in four cities, Perth in Western Australia on the Indian Ocean, which is looks a lot like San Diego, and then Portland, Oregon, Nashville, and San Diego, California. And they studied what it was that makes communities feel safe, more connected, less isolated, basically function better. And they studied neighborhoods in particular. And they went in blind. They weren't trying to prove a point about pets. But it wasn't churches, it wasn't schools, it wasn't sports, it wasn't music, it certainly wasn't politics. It was pets. The strongest factor in building a community culture and a sense of what you call social capital in the community were pets. And that was confirmed in all four cities. And so we discovered that pets not only made you individually feel better, you know, I talked about that a minute ago, but it actually made communities work better. And that was part of the thinking, or if the motivation, if you will, about dogs moving out into every corner of America. And I know in Wisconsin, it's no different than Arizona, where I live, or Manhattan in New York. You can't go anywhere and not see a dog. A store, inside or outside of a restaurant, hotels, hospitals. I mean, think about that. 30 years ago, if you saw a dog in a hospital, it'd be chased outside instantly. You can't find a hospital probably in Wisconsin that doesn't have animal-assisted therapy dogs who are now part of the treatment plan to take care of patients. Hotels that would have kicked a dog out again, you know, before they got in the lobby, now some have floors reserved for non-pet owners just to let them know you can come here. But rest assured, the rest of this hotel is full of pets. So it's been a complete transformation any way you look at it.
We're talking to Mark Cushing about his new book, Pet Nation, the inside story of how companion animals are transforming our homes, culture, and economy. He writes that we have a lot more pets. We treat them differently than we used to, spend a lot of money on them, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What role does your pet have in your family, in your household? Do you meet people via pets? Maybe you're out walking the dog and talk to other dog walkers out there. Are you glad that businesses accommodate you when you have pets? If you're not a pet owner, do you feel like pet's turf is encroaching on you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you and your pet, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Mark Cushing about his new book, Pet Nation, the inside story of how companion animals are transforming our homes, culture, and economy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your pet or pets, what they mean to you, to your household, to your family, to your social life. Is your pet your best friend, as many Americans say their pets are? Do you have problems in your life with accommodations when you want to, say, travel or go about your daily business? Do you worry that pets are getting a little too much attention and spending in our economy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts, your experiences, and your props to your pet. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Mark, you also look at some of the legal frontiers. We have a lot more pets out there. A lot of people want to go more places with them. Our standards, our laws, and things like that don't always keep up. Where do you see some of the main points of attention, contention right now?
Well, one point that may be the ground zero for issues right now is the workplace. Studies have been done. A PhD researcher, Carrie O'Hara from UCLA, working for Nationwide Pets, had a remarkable study that showed that employees, including employees that don't own pets, like their company considerably more, and they like their boss considerably more, and will stay longer at their company if it's pet friendly. But there are plenty of people at work that aren't sure about that. Mm-hmm. And so now that people are returning to work or being asked to, as COVID hopefully recedes from the front line, there's a great deal of tension around people's unwillingness, since roughly 20 to 23 million households added or got a first-time pet during COVID. They're not sure they want to go back. They got used to being with their dog or cat during the day. That's a tension point. It's not a legal issue because a company has a right to say you can't, you know, bring a dog into our office. But it's certainly an employee relations issue at a time when the entire country is experiencing a shortage of employees. I mean, businesses, small businesses in particular, cannot find workers. So that's an issue, number one. Another one is housing. Millennials and Gen Zs, right now own 60% of the pets in America. They have sent a signal to apartment developers in Milwaukee and Madison and Chicago and LA and New York. It doesn't matter where. If you want us to be in your apartment building, it's going to be pet friendly. That's been a 5-year only transformation. My team did a study in 2015 and ranked the cities according to being pet friendly in housing. And there were laggards that might surprise you. But since that time, there's been a great deal of housing for millennials, particularly in the urban core, you know, inside Milwaukee, I'm sure, inside the core of Madison in Wisconsin, and certainly Chicago. And guess what? Find one that's not pet friendly. I'll be surprised. But public housing is supposed to be pet friendly by federal law, particularly if it's financed by the federal government. And that's a very serious disappointment. People that need public housing aren't staffed by lawyers. They don't walk in with a lawyer on their left or right side saying, give me all the rights I have in this apartment. One of those rights is to have a pet. And we did a study and found out surprisingly few honor that requirement. And it's a part of the population that may need the companionship of pets more than anything. And that's a great disappointment. That's a challenge, obviously. Airlines have become a new battleground because, surprisingly, during COVID, when air travel was tapering off and airlines were struggling and still are struggling, the TSA and airlines got tougher on pets. And I can't yet figure out why they thought that was necessary, but perhaps the people that didn't like pets or had allergies sometimes complain more vigorously. That's been a battleground. There's also issues surrounding animal abuse. Now, what's that have to do with it? Well, a great number of peer-reviewed academic studies have shown, sadly, but maybe not surprisingly, domestic adult felons, men that commit violence against women as adults, got their start abusing animals. It's almost like it was spring training or a training ground. I don't like to say that casually, but that was very disturbing. So you have the good side of animals, and of course animals had nothing to do with being victims, serving as a source of pleasure for people that end up, you know, harming, you know, and in some cases killing women as adults. And the states haven't, frankly, increased the severity of animal abuse laws, sanctions, penalties, or even the duties of veterinarians to report animal abuse, as other countries have done. And I think that's an area the United States needs to catch up. I'll stop there, but that's a good start.
Talking to Mark Cushing about his new book, Pet Nation, the inside story of how companion animals are transforming our homes, culture, and economy. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Invited you to tell us about your pets. Mary is with us now in Fond du Lac. Mary, hi.
Oh, hello. This man that you have on is just wonderfully informative. We have two dogs and one cat. We had to get rid of one cat, but we have the other one. They are just so important to us. All our kids left, and we didn't have any pets in the house. And then my daughter got a puppy. He was with us all winter, and he brought such joy just to watch him and play with him. And he's such a happy dog. It's just amazing. Now we have a lab puppy who's about 2 months old and just a hell of a lot of work, but boy, she's pretty fun to watch too. And then we have an adult cat, and I just love watching her. She's my girl, but she's pretty old, so...
Mary, thank you so much for sharing your team with us there. I appreciate it. Mark, I'm guessing, so Mary had an empty nest there and filled it up with some pets and is pretty happy about it. I'm guessing she's not alone.
No, it's common. Of course, it happens on the other end. You see millennials mm-hmm. who have pets before they have children. I don't think they're making a choice any more than she made a choice. You know, life happened the way it happened or unfolded in the manner it did. I don't think millennials are saying, do I get a cat or do I get a kid? But they grew up in families with pets and they're going to have pets. And they do, as I mentioned earlier. And it's interesting. You often hear people refer to pets as the new children. I think that's an insult to pets. I think pets have a much better deal than a lot of kids have, and they don't have a teenage phase. So as a parent of five, that has its advantages, but it's been interesting to see the extent to which people's activities, particularly just on a weekend, hanging out with their pet wherever they go. I mean, that strikes some people still as odd. A fellow the other day said to me, you know, I went into Home Depot and I must have counted 10 dogs there, and it seemed really strange. And I said, what was strange about it? Did they bother you or bark or bite? He said, no, it just seemed weird. I said, well, do you think they were there because the dog wanted to go, or do you think the person did? They said, well, I guess it was the person. I said, yeah, people like to spend time with their dogs, in particular outside the house, and get used to it. And I think what the next frontier is going to be is America becomes more like Paris, France, where it is not uncommon to see dogs inside restaurants. And I think I'm going to guess in Milwaukee, particularly with the cold winters, that it's not the norm for restaurants. In some cases, public health codes do not allow dogs inside the restaurant. In France, they do. And I suspect in 5-10 years, we'll see that barrier removed. I bet it becomes common in America to see a dog inside of a restaurant.
Thanks a lot for that call. Go to Deanna now in Milwaukee. Deanna, hi.
Hi. So I have a roommate and she grew up and she never had pets in her house. And I've grown up and I've always had something, a dog, a cat. I have pet rats, actually. And about a month or so ago, our upstairs neighbor passed away suddenly. And the family asked us if we would take in the cat. And the cat, her name is Arcee. She was very apprehensive about moving into a new apartment. And my roommate Melody was kind of apprehensive about having an animal, and just seeing this transformation in my friend going from apprehension of what is this going to be like? I have to share my home with this animal, to just now they're inseparable. And Melody is just in love with this cat, and the cat is in love with her. And the Melody had surgery, and Arcee, the cat, kind of sat on the couch and was watching over her. And she mentions to me all the time, Melody, that, I don't know why I like this cat so much. I come home and I see her, and there's so much joy in her being there. And I love having her around. And it's something that's hard to describe, but just something that's always been in my life that is difficult to explain, but I'm so excited that she gets to experience that now and that the cat came into our life.
Deanna, thanks so much. We just have a half a minute left, Mark. A lot of people, it sounds like, are making that exact discovery.
Yeah, no question. And I'll end. There are a lot of Catholics in Wisconsin. I just know that from prior studies. And my mom is a dear Irish Catholic who's passed away, and she's never forgiven me because in my book, and I did a blog about this, which she read before she passed away, hopefully not the cause of her passing away at 94. I take on the Pope Francis I, who picked the name Francis from Francis of Assisi, who's the patron saint of animals, right? But he gave a sermon and then a series of sermons and then a long interview with an Argentinian newspaper criticizing people's devotion and enjoyment of pets. And he had this weird, and it's just wrong. Sorry about that, Francis, but you were just wrong on this. His theory is the zero sum idea, that if you love your pet, you can love your pet too much and you have no love and caring and empathy left for people. And it's just the opposite. That caller's example was a good case of it. You have pets bring the best out of people. You have people that were sort of grumpy and isolated that suddenly are engaged with the world.
And that's where we'll leave it. Thanks to Mark Cushing, author of the book Pet Nation. You can keep sharing your pet stories over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.